to talk about this. So we were discussing this topic. We thought perhaps some of you had experiences. How many of you had never experienced self-doubt? Okay, so so you know what we're talking about. Like, so self-doubt, perhaps like the moment when you are thinking about doing something, you are like, can I do it? Am I actually going to, or am I overestimating myself? Am I going to fail? Am I going to be laughed at? Someone is going to look at me like, who do you think you are? Why did you think you can accomplish that? And so moments, or maybe more than a few moments, an extended period of doubt about ourselves, our ability. Maybe thoughts of, what if I fail? What will people think of me? Does it sound like what you were talking about, self-doubt? Can I do it? Maybe I can't. And these are very uncomfortable thoughts, to say the least, or maybe very painful experiences, just feeling that I don't know. And maybe we experience it as sort of images of people, maybe people close to us, maybe just some general people who will be judging us, showing us disapproval, worry, fear of embarrassment, humiliation. They may all just be lumped together in this experience that we call self-doubt. And what do you usually do when you experience self-doubt? Anyone?
Talk yourself out of it.
Talk yourself out of it? Try to like, I'm okay, I'm gonna be okay. Like, talk yourself out of it. Anyone else? You try to
avoid the stimulus that brings it up for as long as possible.
Like, just avoid it. Avoid that. That's sort of like a very common strategy, right? Because it's such unpleasant experience. We just try to avoid it. And now the fact that you're avoiding it, really, you're actually feeling it. And you're just trying to, like, you know, get rid of it or push it away or pretend that it's not there or replace it with something more pleasant, such as, like, you know, I wish I feel confident. Maybe I try to make myself feel confident, talk myself into feeling confident about what I'm doing, right? Yeah.
Feel like a lot of shame for that self-doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So now you have self-doubt and you pile shame on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shame, does that make you feel like you want to get rid of it?
Well, I want to get rid of the shame and the self-doubt, but it doesn't make me, it doesn't help.
That's right. So, like, sort of, you would use the word self-doubt to sort of like as a label of this experience, but like a lot of things going on. Most of it, not what we want. We try to get rid of it. And you can see that that is suffering, that what is happening, we don't want it to be there, or we want something else to be there. What suffering means is whatever is going on in the present moment, we don't want it. We want something else. That's suffering. So I don't know if you noticed the thought of self, just the question of, oh, will I fail? What if I fail? That's just a thought. But then our reaction to it, like, I hate it when I feel like this. I hate it when I don't feel confident about my ability. And I want it gone. That is the suffering we create on top of the thought that comes through our mind that we label as doubt. I should be more confident. So the fact that I doubt myself makes me feel ashamed. or I'm embarrassed about it. So you said we talk ourselves out of that, or you try to find out a strategy using what we have just done in the practice of silent elimination. Actually, all you need to do is allow it to be there. And you may be thinking, are you crazy? No, because if you just allow the thoughts that come up, am I going to fail? Is it going to be a problem? What if I fail? What if it doesn't work out the way I want it? It's this thought, you notice that, and then it will go away. Now, does it mean that you ignore it? That's not what I'm suggesting. But you know, so instead of dwelling on it and allowing it to, for you, allowing you to create a lot of suffering for yourself, it's like, oh, interesting. I noticed this thought that is like a question. How about looking into it? I'm going to ask you to think about, when do you doubt yourself? Chris, you said like you avoid a trigger. Well, I'm going to ask you to think about what are the times when you do things that get you into doubting yourself. Let me ask you this. When you get up in the morning and you go and brush your teeth, do you doubt your ability in brushing your teeth? Do you doubt your ability to walk out of your room and come to class? Things you do. I don't know what I just triggered. Maybe under some conditions you might doubt that. But like, I'm talking about things that we have done a lot, we are very good at, we are familiar with, we are confident in doing, in being able to do a reasonably good job at. When will we encounter self-doubt? Usually that's when we are trying something new. Is it something that we haven't done before? Maybe we are doing something that's challenging. We're going out of our comfort zone. Have you had that experience? You can do something that's challenging for yourself? Or maybe you are doing something that you are pushing your limits, sort of like similar to pushing this, like, that's not what you do, but like, or kind of like, that's not how the established way of doing it. So you're pushing the limits a little bit. No one has done it like that. So you're not sure whether this is going to work out. It's challenging because it is not what you have already done before. Or maybe you are doing something that's unconventional. Unconventional, maybe, like I said, is not an established way of doing things. You are, in a way, deviating from tradition. Instead of following the established way of doing something, you are innovating. You are trying something new. Perhaps noticing the limitation of the traditional way of doing things, conventional way of doing things. We have new needs. We need to come up with slightly different way of doing things. Think about it, because we are doing something that's new, that we're not familiar with, that we are that we feel challenged. I haven't done this before. This is basically my first time doing this. Should we be surprised that we are wondering, oh, can I get it? Can I do it? Can I accomplish it the way that I would like to? So having that thought of doubt, wondering about it, would be quite normal, actually. And in fact, what we are doing is to do something new and challenging, really for our own growth. Think about, you never do anything that makes you doubt yourself. You're just staying well within your comfort zone. So you ask yourself, are you willing to avoid self-doubt at all costs, meaning never do anything that's even close to touching your limit, meaning letting go of any opportunity to grow. So when we allow ourselves to think about this way, that sort of that experience, the sensation of self-doubt, really is kind of excitement. A little bit. It's exciting. You're doing something, it's mixed with the excitement of doing something that's new and challenging that will come with, oh, I don't know if I can, if they will, it will work out. And perhaps as a practitioner, what you can do, what we can do is to ask ourselves, why am I doing this? What is my motivation? Meaning, why am I doing this thing that is new, that is unconventional, that is pushing my limit? Why am I doing this? There might be different motivations. And when perhaps the motivation that you can think of, you can notice, is that I am doing this in order to offer a new way to look at something, to think about something, to do something that might be beneficial to other people. Right? If you're engaging in some kind of research, or the example that comes to my mind is the way I approach Dharma teaching. I tend not to teach the way that others been teaching in my tradition, and so it's pushing limits and being unconventional. So it's why do I do that? Because I think that will be useful for people. So what I'm talking about is when we examine our motivation, is to think about whether the reason behind our doing so is in accordance with compassion. Are we trying to do something that will bring benefit to other people, including ourselves? We learn something, and then other people might also benefit from what we are doing. This is quite important, because if we are convinced that, yeah, I'm willing to take this risk of potentially failing here or there, but really in order to bring benefit to others, then, oh, okay, it helps you feel a little bit more at peace. I can see I'm taking a risk, but the reason for doing so is to bring benefit to others. And this remind me of the time when I wrote this article. Actually, it came out earlier this year about charm practice and engaging in civil engagement. It was published in the Charm magazine. No one has ever written an article about that, about participating in protests and things like that. So it was, that's what I meant by unconventional. No one does that. But that leaves a big hole in something that really people kept asking me, does it mean that I cannot use the charm practice in it, in being an engaged citizen, in engaging social justice or political, being a political engaged citizen. So I decided to write an article, but it was how do I go about that? Should I even write it? And because your words, the people might not receive it very well, right? So now, as we notice these doubts, actually they are useful for us, because when we have these doubts, maybe they are signals for us to think about, will I cause harm to anyone by doing something that has not been done before? like, well, cause harm. And that allow us to think about maybe there are some parts of the things that we're planning to do can use adjustment. So our first draft, or the first draft of our plan. I'm gonna do this, this is new, and you come up with this plan. Or for me, it's come up with this article. And then it's like, the doubt allow us to think more carefully to make sure that what we are pursuing is not going to cause harm to others. That's the basic tenet of compassion, not to cause harm to others. And so perhaps we can look over it, our plan, look over whatever we're writing or what we're planning to say, and make adjustment. It might just be the tone or the approach we use. And that will already reduce the amount of harm and suffering that we might cause to others. And we might notice that might be what's causing us this anxiety, this doubt. And so just acknowledging that maybe my original plan had some issues, and now we give ourselves an opportunity to make adjustments that will help us resolve that doubt. We feel more confident about what we are pursuing. And so what it is that it also gives us more clarity about what it is that we are saying. Because as we go through our plan, we might notice, we might be, oh, this part, this thing I say sounds a little bit too self-righteous. We might notice problems that we did not notice before. Without the doubt, we would not have gone and reconsider it. So that allow us to keep an eye on these points. And now, of course, that means it will involve us spending more time with our plan on it. So part of the wisdom is to allow ourselves time. If we are planning to do something new and unconventional, we should not plan to just cook it up the night before it's due, right? It's talking about anxiety. And so the doubt also tells us that maybe I need to allow time for me to go and review it, and so that we can feel more comfortable that it is not going to cause harm that we did not intend to, but just because we had not have not thought through it thoroughly. Now, you might think, well, but if I do that, am I ever even just going to actually do it? Because I would try to look at everything over and over again to see if there's anything I missed that I might cause harm to others. And so this is a good opportunity for us to practice that this is where I am now. This is what I can see. And so practice accepting the limitation that we have in this moment. This is my current causes and conditions. This is what I'm capable of seeing. So meaning that we acknowledge that it's not a perfect product at all. It's work in progress. And when we can allow ourselves to think about our work in this way, whatever it is, then we also not so attached to the outcome. Like, yeah, we want to do a good job, but you know, it's a work in progress. That means we can still improve it. We learn from it. It's a very different mindset from thinking that, oh, I'm like so smart, I'm gonna make this thing and everybody's gonna think I'm so awesome. That thinking in itself causes us incredible amount of anxiety. And in fact, when we can approach our work this way, knowing that it's not perfect, we probably miss something, then we are also ready to accept responsibility. So, for example, I can tell you this article, when it came out, two people wrote to the Time magazine to complain about it. It's like, it's a Time magazine, you should not be talking about politics. And so it's like, yeah, like, you know, so you thought about it, then it was not a surprise. And yeah, you know, there one person made an made interesting point about one word I used. So yeah, I could see that, you know, I probably could have gone without using that particular word. So it's not the responsibility to learn from it. So next time I can be more thorough in reviewing my writing. So that's allow us the opportunity to learn and cultivate ourselves through the process. And you can see how what we assume to be going to be a horrible, painful experience of self-doubt can become a wonderful learning experience. As we think about the motivation, why it is that we are doing this, maybe we may realize that, oh, maybe I'm also doing something new and unconventional because I just want to show people how smart I am. Like, I want to be doing something unconventional just for the sake of it. I don't know if you noticed, what is absent is because it is going to be beneficial to others. So we can see, look into our mind and see if there are elements of that. That we are thinking that I'm going to do this and people are going to think that I'm so smart, I'm so special, I'm so whatever it is that you want people to see in you. And if you notice your mind thinking, oh no, I don't want to do that, you know, I want to get rid of that, it's like, chances are there will be some element of that. Because we all have some egotistic element in us. And it doesn't make us bad people. We all have elements of that. So you can, if we allow ourselves to really look into our mind clearly, honestly, and how can we accomplish that? In the practice of silent illumination is allow everything to be there. Allow everything to be there. Not just the things that make me feel good, or not just the thought that agrees with my idea of who I am. It's like, okay, yeah, I'm doing this because I want to benefit others. But there is a little bit of that. That's like, I want people to like me. I want people to think I'm special. Yep, that too is there. That too is there. No problem, you notice that. And so what we are talking about is the process of cultivating this total awareness, not a partial awareness. In our usual way of being, we are constantly cultivating a partial awareness. If we have awareness at all, we are cultivating a partial awareness. We block out things that we don't want to see, depending on what it is that you don't want to see. Some people don't want to let themselves to see the good side of themselves. They just want to say that I'm terrible. Some people don't want to see the bad side of themselves. I'm so awesome. You know, how can you not love me? Whatever it is that you want to block out. The same mechanism is in play that we cultivate partial awareness. What we're talking about here is the cultivation of total awareness. Whatever. Everything that's there. You might find it difficult because they don't. That means it's difficult to put ourselves into any tidy box. I'm not this, I'm not that. No, there's no word to describe it. No. In fact, this is why in charm practice we talk about it's beyond word and language. Our compulsion to want to use word and language to describe ourselves makes us feel that if I'm not this, I must be that. And then says, no, we are little of these things. There's no one word or two word or three word to describe us adequately. But we know when we allow ourselves to see, yeah, there's all these elements at play. I feel all these things. That's what's going on. You just know. Just know. And in that moment, you can see, yeah, you're not fighting against anything. You're not fighting against the present moment. He's like, yep, that's what's going on. All right. No problem. And so we can acknowledge these self-serving motivation, but also acknowledge that, but primarily, I'm also wanting to do this for the benefit of other people. In Western culture, we have a strong tendency towards wanting purity. It's like, oh, my motivation is not pure, I'm no good. And you want to get rid of the part that you consider impure. Well, then you go into the trap of suffering again. Wanting to reject something that's here. That's where I am now. That's where I am now. And as we practice more, maybe we just slowly allow the self-serving part of us to go. After a while, you don't even think about it. You're not constantly trying to get rid of it. The more you try to get rid of your ego or your selfishness, the more self-centered you get, more self-absorbed, because you're constantly thinking about me. Just you see that, you acknowledge that, and carry on anyway. And after a while, it's like, it's not taking such a powerful hold on us anymore. So, now sometimes self-doubt also is useful, because sometimes we may doubt our ability to pull off something, maybe for good reason. I don't know if you have that experience. Maybe, you know, I really don't want to do this, but like, actually you're really exhausted. You simply don't have the energy to do something. And maybe, especially when you're doing something that's new or that is challenging, it requires extra mental sharpness that you simply don't have when you are very exhausted. Or sometimes your body, your physical or mental conditions don't allow you to do that. Maybe when you're sick, maybe of a really more long-term health condition, or maybe you're feeling depressed. Depressed, you feel overwhelmed, stressed out. And if at the same time you're trying to push yourself to push your limits, that is not wisdom. Nor compassion for yourself. Cultivating this total awareness is to see that, yeah, this is my body and mind right now. So maybe the causes and conditions are not right in this moment to push myself to engage in this challenging project right now. It doesn't mean never. So that doubt might actually be wisdom telling you, maybe not all the causes and conditions are here. Patience. So I hope this gets you to see how you can make use of what might seem to be something that's negative and turn it into something that allows you to cultivate wisdom and compassion. And that's what the practice can allow us to do. If we label something, oh, that's just bad, and then I'm just suffering, then yes, you suffer. You choose to turn that into suffering. Or you can practice remembering to see that, oh, yeah, this is an opportunity to practice. And whatever it is, whatever the trigger can lead you to towards wisdom and compassion. Is it time?
7:30.
Feels so short. So maybe you can discuss it or share your thoughts when you get to get together again. Yeah. So I encourage you to practice with it in your daily life, and share your experience and reflection with your fellow practitioners.
It was a wonderful talk. Thank you so much, Rebecca. I learned a lot from that talk. So thank you, everyone, for coming.